Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. No Austin again this week, but hey, we're working on it. Hey, multiple weeks in a row, we're back on the consistency for now.
Love you. Few things. Confidence.
What? Competence? Pretend confidence.
Yeah, your vote of faith. Yeah.
a little bit to talk about today before we get into the episode. So when this episode releases, it will be December 15th, which, if you don't know, that's when contracts that were signed during the offseason are eligible to be traded. So a lot of floodgates potentially could open. We don't typically see trades start that early, but there's a lot of teams that are underperforming expectations that it feels like they need to make a move early if they still want to make a push this season, or if they are wanting to get out of, say, an older player to increase their odds at a tank. So we could realistically see some of those teams make a move as early as Sunday, maybe Monday. Not likely, but you never know. Like, teams have been surprising for a while now. First one, I guess the biggest name on the market that I've seen has been Jimmy Butler with the Miami Heat. The Heat are not open to extending him. The Heat have not exactly performed amazingly. They're hovering around 500. They're in the playoffs right now, but it's not like a lock, right? Like, they've been pretty mid. Bam Adebayo has been kind of a down season. And Jimmy Butler is old now. So the trade rumors have been pretty constant the whole season. His preferred destinations, because I believe he has a no trade clause or a limited trade clause, so he kind of gets a say in where he's going. The teams that I've heard or that I've seen, and we don't have contacts yet. Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, Golden State Warriors, Phoenix Suns, and Brooklyn Nets, which Brooklyn is kind of a strange team to want to go to. Obviously, good fit with the Mavericks or the Warriors. Rockets, I question the fit with the culture of that team, just because Jimmy is Jimmy. And Phoenix obviously would be a decent place to go. Where of those teams do you think Jimmy would fit the best as the resident Jimmy Butler stan?
For the sake of our fans, could you name them again without the
for the sake of them? Yeah. It's the Brooklyn Nets, which doesn't make sense. Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors, Dallas Mavericks, and Houston Rockets.
So, depends on the objective. If you're talking about...
Objective is always that ring.
Oh, if the... Okay, Mavericks.
Mavericks?
Yep.
I mean, I do agree it's a good fit. I just, you are, like, where are you playing Jimmy? Because you've already got Luka, Kyrie, Clay.
Yeah.
Are you running Jimmy at the four with Lively at the five? Oh. Yeah. I mean, it...
I mean, we've literally watched... What team is running small ball basically this whole year?
The Thunder. The Thunder have done it.
Yeah, the Thunder, and they're number one in the West, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, the Thunder have basically been running small ball all season. So I mean, it's not like it won't be that detrimental to them. It's not like the fours are pseudo fives anymore. So
I mean, we exist in an era of positionless basketball.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think you're still stuck in '90s brain, and that lineup's just fine.
I mean, it's more just I don't know where the fit is with him on that team, besides just him at the four. You know, it's more just, does he really complement at this point in his career? Yes. I don't know. It's not, besides Kyrie, it's not exactly an athletic team. And I don't think Jimmy moves the needle on that one too much. Other names, Brandon Ingram. That's been on the market forever.
Yeah, yes.
Which it feels like the Pelicans just need to blow it up. I don't know if I necessarily agree with this, but when I was doing a little bit of research for today's episode, I saw a Twitter thread. I'm still going to call it Twitter. Fuck it. Where people were suggesting waiving Zion Williamson.
Oh my god.
It's a terrible idea unless you're just trying to save money. For a multitude of reasons, because even at his worst, you could trade him for a first round pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the Pelicans, really, it does feel like they either need to get that man out of New Orleans and, like, away from the food, or they just need to blow it up and trade everyone. I wouldn't probably trade Herb Jones because I'm a massive Herb Jones stan. But everyone else on that team, just move on, start over, build up from scratch. Other name, LeBron James. I don't think this is even reality. I think that there's a lot of things you can say about LeBron James, but LeBron James is in that echelon of players that they don't get traded. Like, that doesn't happen.
Usually.
Now, unless he requested a trade, I don't think players of that caliber get traded unless there's, like, in hockey, Wayne Gretzky got traded, but Wayne Gretzky got traded for financial reasons. Like, the team could not afford him. Like, they could not pay him the money that they agreed to pay him. The NBA doesn't have that problem. Players of this caliber do not get traded unless they demand a trade, and there's no reason for LeBron to demand a trade. The suggested spot was the Kings, which I don't think the Lakers would even trade to an in-state rival. That said, I really do like that fit. I think that would be amazing. The problem is, what would the Kings be sending back? Because even 41-year-old LeBron James is still LeBron James. Granted, he's not been amazing this year. Also, apologies for the low energy. I am incredibly sick, but we're pulling through. Just took a little shot of NyQuil. It's helping the cough. Shot of NyQuil. I forgot to buy DayQuil, so I took a shot of NyQuil. It's fine. It'll be out of my system quick enough. It's okay. Besides that, like, if LeBron is getting traded, you want him to go to the Cavs. That's just... The only place he could go besides the Lakers would be the Cavs or the Heat. I feel like if you're going to trade him at this point, don't put him on a new team. Let him finish his career in one of the three places that he won a ring. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
I don't want an MJ Wizards stunt. The LeBron on the Wizards would be hilarious. Kawhi Leonard. I wrote Kawhi Leonard down, and I don't know why.
Because he's the best.
No, there was a reason. I got it. Before we get into the topic today, I saw a Reddit thread, and I wanted your opinion on it. Really, I wanted you and Austin here, but Austin has big boy adult responsibilities.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So,
he's a big kid now.
Joel Embiid is an oft-injured superstar player. Yep. That at the height of his career is one of, if not the best players in the NBA, correct?
Yep.
Following along.
Yep.
Again, hyper injury prone, missed his entire rookie season, has missed multiple, almost full seasons. Vilified for that, right? By people, including myself. Like, I will.
Yep. You are part of the hater club.
I am a hater. Derrick Rose. Prime Derrick Rose, one of the best players in the NBA. Derrick Rose is also incredibly injury prone. One of these things is not like the other in terms of how we as NBA fans view the players. Derrick Rose is respected by, I think, NBA fans at large or basketball fans at large. Whereas Joel Embiid is not. Do you have any thoughts on why that might be? Because I have a few, but I want to get an outside thought before, like, I do mine.
So, this is America. And we, as Americans, do not look at things from a statistical standpoint or a relative factual base. So I'm gonna be honest. Joel Embiid does not pass a vibe test.
So
that kinda
ties into my theories. So I actually had a couple. So one was Joel Embiid is a massive flopper. Like he leads the league in free throw attempts. Like it's Derrick Rose never did that, and Derrick Rose was the definition of a rim runner. But Derrick Rose was just dunking on you. He didn't need the foul. Joel Embiid will dramatically give a Shakespearean acting class on Thursday night, if you want. And then also the whole persona that he himself has adopted with the Troll Embiid. You are actively vilifying yourself against fans. Whereas Derrick Rose, for everything else he is, every time he did something, he acted like he'd done it a million times. Like, game-winning shot, no reaction. Like, there wasn't any of the celebration. Like, if you load up 2K right now and you go through the celebrations list for your player, you're not going to see a Derrick Rose celebration because there isn't one. He doesn't do the showboating. Like, when he beat your team, you're just like, ah, shit. Yeah, he did it.
Joel Embiid have one?
Has Joel ever done one? I feel like he just is very animated. Granted, Joel Embiid's celebration is falling to the floor.
Oh my god.
I think you can tell where my opinion is on the two players. But I found it interesting because someone pointed out that those two are eerily similar in terms of success versus injuries. It's just, as a community, we typically don't demonize Derrick Rose for that. Like, there's stuff outside of basketball that we're not going to comment on here, and whether or not they're true or not. We are only talking basketball. And yes, Derrick Rose does have a bit of a controversy around him, but it's not relevant to basketball, so we're not going to talk about that. That's something you have to do as a sports fan. Like, you have to acknowledge Karl Malone is a terrible fucking person. Piece of shit. Absolute garbage. Good basketball player. We can say that. Like, we can do those two things can be true at the same time. So yeah, let's get into the topic. So I don't know how many teams you did or how much you did for this. This should be in the title, but I'll explain what we're doing here. Basically, last year or the year before, I don't remember which Christmas we did this. I think it was the first one because I think Adam was there. So actually, I don't think this episode exists anymore. Am I right?
I'm actually not sure. It's been over a year.
I think that episode was you, me, and Adam, and I think all of the Adam episodes got purged. I don't remember doing this with Austin. Regardless, we're changing it. So if you've been listening to us from day one, you'll know what we're talking about, but you won't know now. Basically, what we did was we went through and we broke the teams up in the entire NBA, and we divvied them out, right? So, like, you pick a team and you pick a team, and then we went through and we did their Christmas wish list. And it took way too fucking long. That much I remember. It took way too goddamn long to get through those lists. So we decided to do that again this year since it is Christmas season and this episode will come out a week and a half before Christmas. So we're doing Christmas wish lists for NBA teams, but we didn't assign them. We could have the same teams. We just picked teams. I don't know how many Angelo picked. Spoiler, I actually only picked three because I didn't know how long we were going to ramble. Because we've been really bad about doing that since we've been back. So,
is it
how
a
many...
bad thing, though? Is it a bad thing?
Rambling? Maybe. Maybe. So, how many teams did you do?
You know what? I'm just going to say three.
Just three? Okay, that's fine. How many did you actually do?
I did three. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's concerning. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right. Kick us off.
Absolutely. So, might as well start off good, you know?
Oh, God. Actually, I'm dreading this.
What?
So, glimpse behind the curtain here. A couple days ago, we were talking in the chat that we use for planning the episodes. Uh-huh. And I'm not talking to you. I'm explaining what's about to happen because I know what's about to happen and I'm just giving them forewarning. So what had happened was I posted this topic in the group chat, set the ground rules, whatever, all that, right? Angelo responded with question, will Austin be there? Because that will set how I map out this list. Austin said he would not be. He has coaching commitments tonight. All right, cool. Absolutely. Cool. Angelo's response is, okay then, sorry, Ren. So, this is me apologizing to the listener, but it's Austin's fault. Take it away.
Is it Austin's fault, though? Okay. My first one is the Atlanta Hawks, and they're hoping the power of friendship and magic continues to work in their favor because they are 7-3. No. Let me finish. They are 7-3. They are number 28 in the league in points given up a game somehow. And hold on, where's their scoring? No. That's how much they've given up.
I almost
you know
the
third quarter
well.
Is their best quarter.
Yeah, it's crazy. I almost had the Hawks on mine. I didn't though, for almost the same reason, but not.
And not only that, they're led by Trae Young.
But
I don't know what blood magic they did, what voodoo magic, what packed with a demon
I can tell. I can tell you. Hold on. I have to pull it all up. Hold on, because I had it all pulled up and then I closed it.
As you weren't gonna talk
do
about.
Do you have cleaning the glass or?
I am on team rankings.
Team rankings.
There.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, fine. Give me a second. It's gonna take me a second to scroll through.
Okay.
So but anyway, advance. Hold on. I'm gonna. You're saying they're led by Trae Young, right?
Yep.
Hold on. I wasn't actually ready, but I will be in just 2 seconds. Okay, I'm ready now. So Trae Young's usage rate over his career is 32. His usage rate this season, last season, his usage rate was 35, right?
Yeah.
This season, his usage rate is down to 28.
Yeah, because Trae Young finally understands that Trae Young cannot win the Atlanta Hawks basketball games, apparently.
Okay, but we're not gonna sit here. And
what? It's not true.
Like Clint Capella has basically become the idea of Miles Turner. Jalen Johnson is playing out of his ass.
Yes, that's why their Christmas list is allowing the power of friendship and magic to continue to rule, even though their defense is atrocious. They are led by Trae Young. And there is very little evidence to suggest that they can sustain what they're doing recently. Go on. Say I'm wrong.
I don't necessarily think you're wrong, but we have always said, including you, you have always said Trae Young would be good as an option on a contending team, correct?
I said second option, but yes.
An option. And not as like second, never third, whatever.
Never the first. I know that. Never the first.
But Trae Young could very, 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 very much function on a championship caliber team as the top usage player. Now, usage does not imply just shooting the ball. Usage is also playmaking, and Trae Young is a very elite playmaker. What the Hawks have done in giving the keys to the production of this team to more than just Trae Young, because again, Clint Capella has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Johnson has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Bojan Bogdanović, he's been solid. Dyson Daniels, solid for a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, whatever.
Don't forget my boy.
Having more reliable options around Trae Young lets Trae Young be the best version of Trae Young.
Are they more reliable, or is it that Trae Young finally stopped handicapping the rest of the team?
I don't think it's so much.
I'm just asking questions here.
I don't necessarily think it's.
You're acting like Clint Capella's a new addition.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's become the idea of Miles Turner. Like, that was a joke for a long time. Because if Trae Young starts shooting like he's always shot, that's in addition to this team, not a subtraction. Homie, Trae shot 45% from three in multiple seasons. He's a 41% three-point shooter. Over his career, he's a 41%...
He's not! He's 35! He's never shot 40% this season. What the fuck are you looking at?
Oh, I was on the wrong player. Hold on.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, that's how you have to give Trae Young credit, by looking at a player that isn't Trae Young.
So he's a 35% career three-point shooter.
He's shooting 30% this year.
He's shooting 30% this year, yeah. So if you up that to his average, which is more believable, like a player does not shoot 35% for their entire career and then just suddenly forget how to shoot. Shooting is the last thing to go in a player's...
I guess he does it if he's Trae Young, probably.
Oh, my God.
What?
Do I think it is sustainable? Realistically, no. Realistically, no. But I think that this is a step in the right direction because for a while we were debating whether or not you trade Trae Young, whether or not you blow up the Atlanta Hawks. I don't think... You have to at this point because Trae Young is still young. The emergence of other players as legitimate focuses of the offense, because this is something that we saw with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like we were saying for so long, Evan Mobley needs to be involved in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
It does not just need to be Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland pounding the ball out of the air and then chucking up a shot.
Yeah.
This season, the three of them have a very similar usage rate, and what has happened? the Cavs are not beatable. Like, they're going to lose, but they're not beatable. That's kind of what we're seeing with the Atlanta Hawks, except obviously the players are not as good. But it's a proof of concept that if you build a team around Trae Young...
And you are a 500 team. Thank you. At best.
It's a young 500 team. It is a young 500 team. Dyson Daniels is 20, 21. Jalen Johnson is around there too, probably... A little older, 22, 23. DeAndre Hunter's still young. Glenn Capella's 30. He's the old man on the group. And they haven't really even fully incorporated Zachary Risacher yet. The promise is there. Is it going to be something this season? Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your.
No. You're good.
No, you want to spend you bash your Trae Young.
I already did. I already got that. I got my pot shots in. I told them that they're running the power of friendship and magic, and they're a terrible defense. And no, I've made my points. Go on, buddy.
Is it? Is it my turn then?
It's your turn. You got the floor. In fact, I'll even mute so I don't interrupt you.
Well, go ahead and give me 1 second so I can clear my throat because I'm going to be talking.
So not only did he have me go first because apparently he wasn't.
Okay, we're good.
He wasn't ready to.
That wasn't. No,
be
I.
The second person.
No, I was ready. I am sick.
Well,
I was.
You might as well rename yourself Trae Young.
I was coughing. Okay, so Houston Rockets. So if I'm the Houston Rockets, my wish list is to find a way to shove Amen Thompson into the starting lineup without ruining chemistry. I don't know how you do that because they're currently second in the West. And on paper, that makes no sense because I think a lot of us kind of expected them to be a fringe playoff team. So they've definitely outperformed, right? A lot of that has had to do with Amen Thompson's physical and defensive traits off the bench. It's very beneficial to have him coming off the bench. Him and Tari Eason... I forget what the nickname, I think it's the Terror Twins is what they call them, because they both just come off the bench and absolutely ruin your team defensively, and you don't really have much to do with it. It's what the idea of Mikal Bridges is supposed to be, but hey, New York Knicks, you've been better defensively when Mikal's been on the bench. That's kind of something that I said during the preseason, but whatever, we're talking about the Rockets. But if a team is performing so well, why would you change anything is something that you, my weird little friend, might ask. Starting five, Houston Rockets. Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., and Alperen Sengun. They have a pretty insane net plus minus. It's 7.6, which I know you don't really care about advanced metrics. But in the minutes that that lineup has played, that exact lineup, and it's not an insubstantial amount, it's actually quite a few, and the only switch is you swap out Jalen Green for Amen Thompson. Now remember, that lineup, that starting lineup, runs a plus 7.6. Just adding Amen Thompson to the lineup this season has a plus minus, and it's an absurd number, plus 346.3. You can go look it up. I get you don't typically care about advanced metrics, but like even you can acknowledge the gapping. Thompson's defensive capabilities makes more sense to me as a starting player, because typically your starters are going to play against the other starters more, which is where teams employ their offensive capabilities. We talk a lot about like the Drew Holidays and the OG Anunobis being these insane, impactful defensive players. Amen Thompson is very much right in that same realm. Because again, just adding him to the list, you basically have improved your defense 300%. So yeah. I don't know how you do that though, because I think if you were to swap out Jalen Green, you would do two things. One, you'd piss him off, but two, you'd kind of tank his value. for any potential trade partner. And again, you're the second best team in the West and like fourth best in the entire association. So like, why would you make a change? I don't know. That's why it's a wish list, because it would be really hard to do it. You really just did not comment on any of that.
I said I was going to give you the floor. I was going to be respectful. I was going to be a good person, Ren. See, this is how you give someone the floor. I'm trying to show you.
Is that what you do on the football podcast?
No, I don't do that on the football podcast. So you should appreciate it even more.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So your Christmas list is basically make it so that the Houston Rockets can run six-man starting lineups?
Not necessarily. I think you just... You hope that Jalen Green wants to be a Lou Williams. You convince him to do that. Oh, you can win so many Sixth Man of the Year awards. Just go for it. I don't think he'd go for it. Who's your next?
So, the Washington Wizards wish they could return to the Washington Bullets. The Wizards are atrocious in every way of the word. I actually went to the rankings and I was waiting to see like how many number 30s there. If you ever are curious, because I know like there's 32 teams in football and there's, if I'm not mistaken, there may even be 33 teams in hockey now. If you're ever curious how many teams are in the NBA, just go to the Wizards and go to one of their rankings.
Oh yeah.
They give up the most points a game. They're number 26 in how many... The only thing they're top 10 in, and this is an even bigger... Do you know the only thing they're top 10 in, Ren?
Opponent transition points?
No. That'd mean they wouldn't give up transition points. They are number 9 in points in the paint a game, and I think that's more indicative of the fact that they can't fucking shoot either. So they just go into the paint.
So what you're saying is building an entire identity around Jordan Poole was a poor decision.
It was a worse decision than Sam Hinkie in the process was.
Oh, Sam Hinkie. Are you saying firing Sam Hinkie?
No, I'm saying what he did, the rosters with the 76ers that he put out. Hinkie. That was a better idea than what the Washington Wizards did.
Yes. Oh, you're saying because the Wizards are still trying to compete.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... The worst part is I don't see a way out of it. Because Ace Bailey and Cooper Flagg, like, I think they're going to be nice. I don't necessarily think either of them will be necessarily generational players. Like, the Wizards desperately needed to win the lottery and get Victor Wembanyama last season. Do I agree that they wish they could go back to being the Washington Bullets? No. But it kind of creates an interesting thought. Like, the Hornets... When the Charlotte Hornets were originally the Charlotte Hornets before they moved to New Orleans to be the New Orleans Hornets... They weren't this bad. At what point do we sweep aside the history that is the Washington Bullets and this team is potentially being moved? Because it's been so horribly mismanaged. Because back during the John Wall, Bradley Beal era, that was a legitimately good team. It never did anything, but it was a good team on paper. This team, and for quite a few years now, has neither been good nor good on paper. So at what point do you just say, all right, we're just wrap it up, we're sending it out?
I mean, it looks like they've already done that.
No, I mean like moving the team to a different locale physically. like Baltimore Colts middle of the night.
They're never going to do that. Washington is a huge mark. Too big of a market to leave.
But what is there? Like, is there anything?
Catch the trash.
Like, if they won the lottery and take Cooper Flagg, and then Kevin Durant decides to come home, is that enough to get them out of purgatory? Keeping in mind, they're going to have Jordan Poole because ain't no one trading for him.
If they do what now? If they win the lottery and Kevin Durant comes?
Yeah, Kevin Durant comes home. Old Kevin Durant, because he's old now.
No.
No. Still the bottom feeder.
They still suck.
The curse is still there?
Yeah.
Honestly, Draymond Green probably put a curse on Jordan Poole, so no matter what team he goes to, it's going to be kind of host.
Honestly, like, the Washington Wizards deserve to be led by Trae Young at this point. Go on.
It's out of nowhere.
What? Did they not?
Brooklyn Nets, at this point, it's fine to freaking trade partner for Dennis Schroeder, like, today, as in the 15th of December. Nets are currently in the playoff race. I'm going to say that again. The Nets are currently in the playoffs if the season ended today. The Brooklyn Nets...
Playoffs or the play-in? Because that's a distinction.
Postseason. We'll say postseason. Because they're the 8th seed, and that's technically play-in. That's going to take getting used to.
I'll count top 8. 9 and 10, I'm not counting. I'm sorry. Might be like my 90s brain, but like 9 and 10 don't count. I don't care.
We'll say postseason because the play-in is postseason.
That's fair.
So they're in the postseason. The Brooklyn Nets with...
They're ranked higher than the Pacers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you. Part of that is Dennis Schroeder's production. He's been averaging 19 points and 6.5 assists per game, which is good. Those are good numbers. Those are that's starting point guard numbers. But Brooklyn should not be trying to compete. They got their picks back from the Houston Rockets during this offseason, so they have their upcoming first and the first after that. Yep. They should be fishing for more draft capital. At this point, it's way too late to compete with the Rockets and... Not the Rockets, Jesus Christ. The Wizards.
You're talking about the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom. The bottom feeders of the league, it is impossible to really compete with them. The only team, like the 76ers, will probably turn it around and claw their way back to a play-in or a postseason spot. But besides that,
I mean, they got as many superstars as the Pacers do. They only got 3 less wins. Go on.
But I just don't see a world in which the Hornets, Raptors, Wizards, who else is at the bottom? The Pelicans are better than they appear. The Jazz are probably better than they appear. The Blazers are probably better than they appear.
That's like Hornets, Raptors, Wizards. Who's on the West?
But you would have to be competing with those teams for a legitimate high pick, and it's probably too late. The trigger should have been pulled a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But finding a trade partner for Dennis Schroeder before he wins you too many games and you end up somehow at the end of the lottery, you're not getting into the top.
Dennis Schroeder.
Like I said, I think he's a quality piece. I think that Dennis Schroeder has had a very long career. And that's because he's someone you can rely on night in, night out. I'm trying to think of a comparable player. Like Luis Scola. Never an amazing player. But you knew what you were getting from him, and you were going to get that every night.
Crap. He's shooting better than Trae Young. Go on. Sorry.
So, yeah, find a trade partner for Dennis Schroeder as soon as possible, preferably today. Just get it done, because he is winning you too many games. because a lot of the offensive productivity of the other players is because of the gravity he's creating.
Which one to use? Which one to use? You know what? The one that's probably going to be that has the most likeliness to be the most wrong in the long term. Let's go. I want backlash. I want to be wrong on this one.
You're normally wrong, so.
Shut up. The Boston Celtics wish the Cleveland Cavaliers get hurt or stop playing as good as they do. Because if they don't, they have no chance. There, I said it.
No chance?
No chance. Zero.
Zero.
Zero. 0.1.
I don't think that's necessarily wrong. Because realistically, like, as nice as the Thunder have been, they don't, especially with injuries, don't match up well against the Celtics. I think that the Cavs do.
No chance.
The Thunder match up better against the Cavs than they do the Celtics, though.
Yeah, because...
So, like, those are your two teams, right? Like, if you're assuming one of those two teams is getting out of the East, I think that the Celtics stomp the Thunder.
How disappointing would it be in this NBA season, where we are at right now, if we didn't see the Cavs and the Celtics play in the playoffs at all? If one of them got knocked out.
I mean, it would be sad, but it wouldn't be surprising. Like, parity's at an all-time high. Like, 8 seeds beat 1 seeds is normal.
Well,
not normal, but it happens.
8 seeds don't always make the playoffs. Sometimes it's the 9 seed and the 10 seed.
Sometimes it's the 10 seed, and sometimes that 10 seed knocks out the 1 seed. It hasn't happened yet, but no.
Yeah, I was about to say. No? What about the year Miami made it and they knocked out Milwaukee?
Was that... before the play-in? I thought that was before. Miami playoff history. Let's see. So, opening round Bucks, that was 2022-2023. The Heat were the 8 seed. Well, actually, now I'm curious. Were they the 8 seed? Because I think it might just say whoever made it.
2022-2023 standings now.
Yeah.
NBA standing.
Not only did they beat them, they stomped them.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely murked them. They were the 8 seed. They were 44-38.
Was that before the play-in? I thought that was...
No, it's definitely after, because the fucking Raptors and the Bulls are highlighted in blue.
Oh.
Yeah. Which means they beat most likely the Bulls. Because
probably
no one loses to the Bulls in the playoffs anymore. And then they went on to the Bucks. And then they stomped the Bucks. And then history was made. Then they beat the Celtics. Those unbeatable Celtics. You remember them?
The young Celtics? Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, young. Yeah. I forgot. So the next year, they won the NBA Finals and they weren't young anymore? That's how that works? 1 year they were young, the next year they're not?
Hold on. What year are we talking about? So what was...
2022-2023. Last season was 2023-2024, right? You were talking literally about the points of the season.
Hold on. We're doing research.
Mm-hmm.
2022-2023. Jason Tatum was 23 years old.
Came into the league at what, 19?
And Angela, were you competing for an NBA playoff spot at 23 years old? No, you were not. No, you were not. Yeah, I'm not even the biggest JT stan, but like, come on. Also, you really can't game plan for Gabe Vincent dropping 30.
I mean, apparently the Nuggets did.
That's like if you... I'm going to use football as an example here. Like, so if you go into a game and, right, you're looking at your opponent's defense for the week. I'm assuming you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to throw a lot of short passes because their secondary is really good, right? That makes sense. Oh, their linebacker's weak, so we're going to run it up the middle. Right. And obviously, right? You don't go into a game and be like, yes, our entire offense is based around an end-of-the-game Hail Mary. There's not a single person that does that, not a single team in the history of organized football that is basing it on that last second shot in the dark, hope you hit it.
Well, I mean,
that's Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, and
here's where you're being disingenuous with that argument. Because a Hail Mary is one single play at the end of the game. To drop 33 points, you can't drop 33 points in the last minute of a game. That is over the course of a game. That means they had four quarters to adjust to that. And they didn't. Right? Right or wrong? Regardless of who you key in at the start of the game, if you see, we're going to stay with football. Let's say Jamar Chase, you're used to Jamar Chase going off. So we're going to double Jamar Chase.
Right.
Then you double Jamar Chase, and then T. Higgins starts going off on that one-on-one. You make adjustments to that and give them different looks and make them do something different.
We just can't
have Jamar Chase, so let's let T. Higgins drop 30. That's not how that works.
Right. But, like, when you're looking at a player and you're seeing Gabe Vincent and you're like, he had more than 10 points one time in the past 3 years. You're still not making the adjustment.
For three fucking rounds?
Yeah, absolutely. No, because when he would go off, then Caleb Martin would go off, and then Max Strus would go off. Like, the role players carried that team through that entire Cinderella run. That has always been my whole problem with that whole thing, is Jimmy Butler got all the credit for it, and it was like, those players elevated. Give them the credit. Give Jimmy the credit, too. Do not give Jimmy all of the credit. That has always been my issue. But no, you don't game plan for that. You don't even make adjustments for that.
You don't even make adjustments. This is why Ren is a loser.
Because what are you going to do? Are you going to be like, all right, well, we're going to leave Jimmy Butler wide open, or we're going to double Max Strus and Bam Adebayo is going to be open in the paint because he hasn't scored this game. But Max Strus has 7. We're going to cover that. No. That's an asinine adjustment. You go with history. You make minor adjustments, but you're not shifting your entire game plan around Max fucking Strus. That's just... No. That was a really short one for you. Unless you have more to say, we just kind of rambled for a second.
We did kind of just go on.
Okay, well, I'm going to finish with the homer pick, because why not? The Indiana Pacers.
Learning how to play basketball?
So, I actually had two. And I was debating between the two, and then I kind of realized they were kind of one and the same. They fed into the same thing. So... It's a healthier remaining season and or a complete system swap. So last year, the Pacers were one of the most exciting high-energy teams we have ever seen. Like, even if you don't like the Pacers, like, they were must-watch basketball because they were just fun. The speed of...
Must-watch away. Must-tune off.
No, they... I don't know. You were one of the only people. You were one of the only people that weren't into it because, like, it was...
I'm workshopping this name.
It was crazy to watch. The pace by itself and the fluid offense created a league-leading amount of transition points. Like, you should love that. And it let players like Tyrese Haliburton kind of thrive on creativity because he'd always played on faster-paced teams. This year, for whatever reason, I still don't really know why, whether it's to incorporate more Pascal Siakam into the offense or to commit more focus to defensive transition. They've decided to incorporate more structure into the offense and slowed down their pace to below league average. And it's just that that doesn't work with this team. This team wants to get out and run. We saw the success last year. We still see the success this year, sometimes when McConnell kind of just ignores the bench and just runs. Because it's a lot harder to defend when you have a lot of young talent. Defensively also ties into that. So Pacers have four players, which are Halliburton, Mathurin, Siakam, and Turner. Those four players all are in the top 50 players for contesting shots at the rim. The two starting guards for the Indiana Pacers are in the top 50 for players in the entirety of the NBA for contesting shots at the rim. That's not a good thing. Pacers have had a lot of injury issues this season, and having the three top perimeter defenders on the team, Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, and Ben Shepherd, missing for extended periods so far, it's basically been a layup line against the opposing teams. We're thinking they can just kind of get to the paint at will. For the past decade, Miles Turner has kind of been asked to single-handedly save the defensive identity of the Pacers, basically chase down every blown coverage into the paint. This season, Carlisle and his coaching staff have opted for him to stay on his man more often than not, leading to Tyrese Halliburton being the last line of defense at the rim. The identity that this Pacers team is trying to be is hurting the offense, defense, and rebounding. And I don't think, like, you're going to say it's that the Pacers suck, blah, 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 whatever, because that's what you're going to do. I don't think it's necessarily because of the talent on this team. I think Tyrese Halliburton is very talented. I think Pascal Siakam is very talented. Homerism aside, I think those two are legitimate stars in the NBA. I think Miles Turner is underrated. I think that he catches a lot of flack because he does what the coaching staff asks him. And a lot of people look at him and say, oh, you're 6'11 and you average 7 rebounds, 8 rebounds, whatever the case may be. But that's what the system is. And that's kind of my whole point. Is we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're not optimizing the talent that is on this Pacers team in a way that's conducive to winning. Going to like a football analogy, it's kind of like if you have an elite kicker. He's the best kicker in the, I won't say best. He's like the number two, number three kicker in the NFL, right? Amazing, clutch. He's going to win you the game-tying field goal. But you're going to go ask him to also run out in the secondary. It's just not going to work. That's not what he should be doing. That's not what works for him. And that's kind of what the Pacers have done, as they've shifted their identity away from this essentially high school or college team, because that's the offense they were running and it was working. And then letting Miles Turner just go for blocks and feed into the post. That was working. It got you a Cinderella. Granted, you did not play against healthy teams, but you made the Eastern Conference Finals with that identity. Why in God's name would you change it less than a year later? So, yeah, it's those two things. One, being healthy would help just on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think, I'm not saying Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, and Ben Shepherd aren't quality offensive players, but I don't think they move the needle that much offensively. But defensively, again, Tyrese Halliburton is in the top 50 for contesting players at the rim. So, yeah. Change the identity, get healthy, do whatever you got to do, but fix it.
Ren just told the Pacers to fix it. Let's fix it. Well, it can't be fixed.
I think this year, normally I watch like most of the Pacer games, but like I end up getting mad and tune out. This year has been so frustrating, but I've watched every game. I've watched every single game. get blown out by 30 by the Detroit Pistons, I'm watching it. I don't know why. Torture. Self-loathing.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
Have you guys actually lost a 30 to the Detroit Pistons?
I don't think it was by 30. I don't think it was by 30.
Alrighty, just making sure.
Let's see.
Oh, no, it was 30. to be fair, it was 25. It was only 25. It wasn't 30.
Only 25.
Did Cade even play this game?
Where are the Pistons in the standings?
They're 9-12.
10-15. They actually have the same record as you. Congratulations, Ren.
Oh, they were 9-12 as of this game. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. They have the same record. The Detroit Pistons have the same record as the Indiana Pacers.
After winning this game, they had a better record than us. Yikes.
Oh, man. You guys are 3-11 away from... What's your crappy stadium name?
Gainbridge Fieldhouse. It's actually not crappy. It's... You hate the Pacers all you want. Gainbridge Fieldhouse is nice. Indiana does a lot of things wrong. We do sports stadiums nice. There's a reason why, like, the draft combine for the NFL's here, like Lucas Oil, is nice. Like, our stadiums are nice. Wrigley Field is based on Victory Field, which is where our minor league team plays. Like, y'all just copy us. Man, that was a... I remember this game.
That's kind of sad that you remember the game. I'm not going to lie.
It's not every day you lose to the Detroit Pistons.
By 30.
By 30. Pacers were 12 for 33 from deep.
That's what he said. It's not every day you lose to the Detroit
Pistons. Yeah. Who's your last? Now I've made myself. I should have gone last. Wait, did you?
Yeah, I went first.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, bitch. Remember?
Holy crap. Yeah. I didn't even make you go first. I just asked if you wanted to go first, and you said, yeah. And then you were like, oh, he made me go first. No, I fucking didn't.
Yes, you did. You said, no, go first. You said, I'm sick. I couldn't do it, Angelo. I need you to start the show off. I need you to start off with a good one. That's why I picked the Hawks. And I obliged. I said, yes, Ren. Yes, I will start us off. It's okay. I got
the Hawks, the Wizards, and the Celtics. Okay, you did do three.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Huh. Interesting.
I know I did.
What? So that wasn't as bad as you made it out to be when you said, sorry, Ren, in the group chat. No. I was expecting way worse.
Way worse? Give me an example of way worse. I should have mentioned the Nuggets. I really should have mentioned the Nuggets. Oh, well.
I was expecting something to do with Jokic.
Yeah. It was on the
docket. The Hawks was actually kind of mild. You said the power of friendship. I fully expected, like, a demand to trade Trae Young for literally anything. Like, Killian Hayes. Like, I expected you to be like, Killian Hayes is a more productive and valuable basketball player than Trae Young, because that's the kind of shit you do.
Well, I mean, no, but Dennis Schroeder technically is.
Right now, yeah, for sure. Dennis Schroeder's hot right now. That's why you got to capitalize, trade him now. I just don't know who you trade him to, because, like, all the contending teams have good point guard depth. Maybe the Philadelphia 76ers. Run Maxi at the 2. It's an option. That's the only one I can think of right off the top of my head. NBA standings.
Think it's going to happen in the playoffs for the West, looking at how many teams.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, what do you think is going to happen? Because right now, the West is the example of why the play-in needs to kind of be a thing. Because right now, the Spurs are 12-12 and pretty. Just outside the play-in. But anyway, go on, sir.
Yeah, the West is crazy. The West has always been crazy. So I think the Clippers regress to the mean.
Yeah, that has to happen.
Yeah. The Lakers are old and slow, and they're not playing transition defense, and that does not really translate well to end-of-season pushes. Timberwolves, I think Anthony Edwards could will this team further, but like there's so many chemistry issues going on between Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert. I question that. Suns, I think, are better than 10. Spurs, I give it a couple weeks. They'll be number one Wimby for MVP. You want to jot that one down?
That's something that we'll need to discuss when Austin eventually gets back.
Nuggets. Nuggets are tough.
Next year.
Nuggets are tough.
I think they're going to lose in the first round.
I think it depends on their matchup, but I could see it. Jamal Murray has kind of substantially regressed. And, like, I know you say, oh, Jokic needs his comrades. Ha ha.
He does. Look at the results.
This has nothing to do with Jokic.
Look at the results without his comrades.
Look at what Jokic is doing to keep this team as a 7 seed. You can say whatever shit you want. You cannot deny that the only reason this team is even in the conversation is because of Nikola Jokic. That's like saying that 2004 Cavs with fucking Booby, like LeBron James needs Booby. No, LeBron James just LeBron James.
Right, but they made the finals. Nikola Jokic is not making the finals.
I'm just saying. Nikola Jokic has made the finals very recently.
He has. But he ain't making it this year, that's for sure. He don't got his comrades.
Probably not. But yeah, really, I feel like one through four. So the Thunder, Rockets, Grizzlies, and Mavs, I think barring a substantial injury, locks at this point. I think the Warriors are a pretty safe bet. I think the Nuggets are a pretty safe bet. And so that would be your 1 through 6.
Holy shit.
What?
He's doing so good this year, he actually increased his career points a game to above 20. Huh. Go on, I'm sorry. Good. This is the Nikola I always wanted.
About damn time. So you remember that you remember that Nikola Jokic was a second round draft pick, right?
Yeah.
And this season he's averaging 32, 14, and 10 with two steals.
Yeah, doing great. Doing amazing.
And you're gonna say he needs his comrades. Like, I feel like, yeah. If you have that stat line, you're exempt from saying he needs his comrades. His comrades are just hurting him. So what this is comparable. This is Nikola Jokic is Riley, right? And Riley just dropped a 40-point game in rec with efficient shooting, and you just went 2 for 13. And like, instead of saying we should have just given the ball to Riley more, you're saying Riley needed you to hit more, which is not factual. You just needed to stop shooting the ball.
Nope. I just needed to hit more.
You got anything else?
Oh, damn it.
All right. Hey, guys, if you like what we do. What?
You're happy. This is the go home port. All right, let's go.
If you like what we do here, leave a comment, like, subscribe, follow, whatever the platform you're on lets you do. Join us here every Sunday. There's a new question there. For the basketball podcast. Tuesday, Thursdays, you can find Angelo and Alex for the football podcast. We are on all socials. They are in the descriptions. Follow us on Twitch. We talked about that a lot for a long time, and then we never ended up doing it. But Probably going to do it. Probably not going to do 2K because we can't get five on at a consistent time to actually do that. But if you want to watch Angelo get murdered by ghosts, that's probably coming.
No ghost.
And if anyone knows how to do any Austin summoning spells, just start doing those. Maybe he'll join us.
Probably need to contact the Hawks. I'm sure it's the same person.
What?
The same voodoo magic the Hawks have used. You need to contact that dude.
Oh, that makes... That doesn't... What? Alright, hey, guys, thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully next week I'm no longer sick, and we will be more high energy, and then Austin will be here to make snarky comments. Bye.
Bye. Bye.